me, Keyshawn, in the morning on 710 ESPN, KSPN Los Angeles, all new 710. It begins Monday, August 17th.
This is 710 ESPN.
This is the Sedano Show, weekdays from 10 to noon after the morning show. Here is Sedano.
Ben Lyons here, filling in for George on a Friday, ESPN Radio, presented by our friends at Progressive Insurance. All of our guests appear on the Shell Pennzoil Performance line. I don't know if you had a chance to see the new Drizzy, new Drake video just dropped. I sent it to you this morning, Greg. He's basically having the greatest sleepover of all time on the Nike campus up in Portland, which is, as you can imagine, a sports fantasy land filled with basketball courts and baseball fields and, you know, soccer stadiums. This is a crazy place. But if you had a chance, check out Drake jet skiing in Portland in the night on the Nike campus, playing one-on-one with Kevin Durant. He's with Odell Beckham on the football field. It's pretty ridiculous. It's pretty absurd. It's a big flex. It's the new Drake. How you feel about it, Craig?
I just wonder, do you think that they got a tent and put it out on like one of the football fields and they all slept in the tent in their sleeping bags?
It does look like an episode of Richie Rich or something. He's like, I can play football at night with my friends and no parents. We can stay up all night. Odell Beckham's here and let's have fun.
I mean, I know that there's sponsored videos and like, you know, you put, I mean, this is just like beyond, this is was one big Nike ad campaign.
I mean, it's the next level. You know, his partnership with the Raptors is super serious. Their practice facility is the OVO Center, like October's very own. Like he's got his logo on the jerseys. Like he's in there with the Raptors, and now he shows he's really in there with Nike if they're letting him jet ski at night on the lake there.
Right. I mean, I love the way you put it, though. It's like the greatest sleepover. Like, yeah, I just feel like that's something that if you and I were like, you know, 15 years old, hey, let's go sleep at the campus of Nike.
Well, that's what I said earlier in the week. What's going on up in Oregon? They're having all these 15-year-old like parties. Remember the idea of the Airbnb at the Blockbuster? It's like the coolest. Right. Blockbuster video or, you know, Tina, it's hysterical. The idea of having a sleepover with all your buddies on the Nike campus.
I mean, I understand like keep Portland weird and all that, but like, I mean, this is another level.
Yeah. All right. New Drake. Yeah. Check it out. He's playing one-on-one with Kevin Durant. I had a chance to go to the Nike campus once. I went to the company store, which is featured in the video, and I really went nuts on socks. You get 40% off on socks. So very responsible shopping on my behalf. Wasn't really like balling out the same way Drake was. It would be cool, though, if he just rolled through his video and was like, look at all this sensible socks I got. But, no.
I mean, do you like the song at all? Like, I mean, I think that's
I got to be honest. I was just so in awe of the Nike campus. I didn't even hear the song. Like, he's singing about some girl that – some girl that he met and his friends that he grew up with and how they're all misunderstood or something. Sure. Like whatever. Yeah. But I'm like, how did they give him access to that part of the campus? That's killer.
Yeah. I remember nothing about the song except for he's like, baby. And that's it. That's the only part of the song I fully remember.
All I thought was, when did they film this? Because isn't Odell Beckham Jr. in mini camps right now? And no one's wearing a mask. And what's happening here? So, all right. Shout out to Drake. Shout out to Nike. All right. Let's get back to what Scoop just said about Anthony Davis. Scoop Jackson, great writer out of Chicago, covered AD back in high school, said that he wasn't really on the scene, wasn't really on people's radars till about his junior year, because he went through a huge growth spurt. He was a guard growing up. He's 6'1", 6'2". That's why he's got those great ball handling skills today. But I think it's also why, and Scoop explained that, you know, he didn't really come into his own as a junior. Then he won a title at Kentucky as a freshman. And then 4 years later, he's in the NBA, number one pick. Hey, he's in 2012. He's on the Olympic team. So 3 years before, you're just another guy, or 4 years before, and then all of a sudden, you're the guy. Ooh, that's a lot for a young person to handle. So I think sometimes when we feel like AD is maybe a little unsure of himself, maybe he doesn't have that dog in him like we see from Damian Lillard, that alpha, that get out of the way, give me the ball, I got this, is because he hasn't had much time to feel comfortable in that type of energy. He hasn't had much time to get his legs underneath him to feel a steady base of, I'm the best player in the gym. I'm the man. I can do this. Get out of the way. Junior year in high school, you're 6'1", 6'2", just another guy. You're pretty good, but you're not getting talked about by guys like Scoop Jackson out in Chicago or whoever's coming up and covering the, you know, the scene at the time. You know, it's a different kind of experience than most of these guys who are the best player on their team from a very early age and kind of carry that swagger with them. And I think it's hard for guys. We talk about, like, for example, your favorite player, Greg Bubble Cheese, guy like Dion Waiters. It's hard for him to have the self-awareness to realize that he's not Kevin Durant, that he's not Allen Iverson. And you say, well, that's ridiculous. But if he goes up and practice every day against KD and Russ when he's in Oklahoma, then he's going to feel like he's just as good as them. And when he's been the man in middle school and in high school and in college, he's going to feel like the man in the NBA, even if he's necessarily like transitioning to a role player position. So that's usually the kind of dance that players have to navigate. But AD's the other way. AD hasn't been the man, growing up his whole life. He wasn't the guy getting tons of recruitment letters as a, 15-year-old. Happened later on, sure. But I think that might be the reason why sometimes we look at him and we go, I don't know if he's really fully confident in himself or fully able to open up that next level of Zelda and get that piece of the triangle and save the princess. Like, I don't know if he has that extra level in him. And when you listen to Scoop Jackson talk about his origin story, it kind of makes sense if you connect the dots. I'm no psychologist, but the idea of I carry myself as this alpha, this dominant force, that's something you got to wear and get comfortable in. That's not something you can just walk up and walk into one day and be ready to go. I think it's something that naturally happens over time. Lakers are going to be fine. Lakers have a real challenge on their hands if the Portland Trail Blazers do figure this thing out on Saturday. If Jaren Jackson were healthy, Greg, I'd probably be rolling with the Grizzlies, because despite the fact that the Blazers have gotten to this position and Dame is the undisputed bubble MVP, they have looked a little flat, and they were a Caris LeVert jump shot away from their season ending. So it's not like as a team they've been amazing. It's just that Dame's been amazing. So honestly, if I'm a Laker fan today, I'm not too worried, and I'm hoping it'll be Dame, just so we'll have some great basketball. But I honestly, real talk, Los Angeles, I feel good heading into the weekend. Watch the play-in game, with some champagne and nuts in honor of number 43. But don't stress. Don't let Dame time get you out of your timeline. I think the Lakers will sweep if that, and maybe you get a game. Maybe the Blazers get one off on them. But I'm very confident, especially after what I saw last night in the Lakers taking care of business in the first round. Does last night affect any of your thought on their chances in the first round, Greg?
No, I mean, it's basically the same as it's been. Damian Lillard's now at 2,733,453 points in the bubble at this point, but I'm not sure if that's exactly.
Would add two more if he made those free throws.
Yeah. Right, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's really Dame and everybody else on that team. CJ McCollum just doesn't look right, and I wouldn't expect him to when his back not doing playing is hurting all that like it is. So it doesn't seem like the same team that maybe earlier in the bubble or even earlier in the season or the team last year that went to the conference finals. I just think this Lakers team just has them in every other position, and it hurts not having Avery Bradley to guard Damian Lillard. But I think they're going to have enough guys to, even if you just let him go off for 700,000 points, they'll still be able to be, they still should be able to take it.
Avery Bradley, quality defender. He can do a lot of things. One thing he cannot do is guard Damian Lillard, because he's a human being, and human beings can't do that. Happy birthday, Magic Johnson. Time for a tweet. This one from February 19th, 2015. The Bucks just acquired the next Jason Kidd in Michael Carter Williams.
Oh. Ouch.
All right, so coming up next, we've got Chris Geeters calling in. Chris McGee, you know him, you love him. We'll talk some more Lakers. Plus, we'll have the weekly movie segment here on the Sedano Show. Sedano usually does it with his favorite film critic, so I'm going to do it this week with my favorite film critic. We'll check in with Geeter next. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano on 710 ESPN.
live and local on 710.
From 10 a.m. to noon.
From 10 a.m. to noon.
You're listening to The Sedano Show on 710 ESPN.
Now back to Sedano.
Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano on a Friday. Appreciate you rocking out with us here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial is proud to partner with the small business experts at SCORE. Access free online resources through the SCORE Small Business Resilience Hub at score.org. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano here on a Friday. Time now for Geeter, Chris McGee, giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Thanks for calling in the show, man. How are you?
Ben, how are you, my brother? Straight Talk, baby. Let's do it.
Well, let's get right to some Straight Talk on Damian Lillard and what your L.A. Lakers plan to do with number zero, should he be able to survive Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies this weekend. The first time all of America is on the edge of their seat for Grizzlies Blazers. Talk to me about what you see when you look at Damian Lillard last night.
Ben, I know you well enough that you wish it was Suns Blazers just like me, but it is Memphis Blazers. We both think the Blazers are going to get out of there and they're going to play the Lakers. I just think it's meant to be. How good is that going to be? Dame and the Blazers versus the Lakers. I don't know what you do to stop him. You could obviously send two guys at him, try to get the ball out of his hands, but he's now just hoisting from the logo when he crosses half court. So I don't know if that's going to do much good. I mean, listen, the Lakers, first couple times they played the Blazers, they handled them easily, but the Blazers weren't at full strength. And then there was the Kobe game, first game after the passing of Kobe Bryant, and Dame went off and the Blazers beat the Lakers. This is going to be an unbelievable series. I keep going back to this when I think about it, and I'll talk to friends or we're doing our show. The loss of Avery Bradley, it's just an extra body to guard him, to throw at him, and CJ as well. So it's going to be a tough series, but it's going to be an awesome series, man. It's the one I want, right? I mean, this is what everyone wants to see.
No, of course. Everybody wants to see Carmelo go for that first ring, you know, in year 17. Everybody's rooting for Melo. Hey, Geeter, you've been doing this for a long time, man. I've been out here in L.A. about 15 years now. How long have you been covering sports? How long have you been covering the Lakers in particular?
So my first time ever going on the sideline covering a Laker game, it was like a dream come true, because remember, I was born and raised here, like, you know, Laker fan out of the womb. And 06 was when I got to cover the sideline for the first time. And then 07, 08, 09, I'm working for Fox Sports. And, you know, I was one of the guys that they would use on the sideline. And then 2010 through 12 is when I started to get more gigs with the Lakers and traveled with the team the year they won the finals against Boston, which was so fun. And then I got the job in 2012 and moved over with, it was Time Warner at the time, now Spectrum. So I've been covering the Lakers now. I want to say this is 15 seasons. So, you know, it's like you growing up a Knicks fan and all of a sudden you're sitting in that chair hosting all the games. It was crazy, man. It's been an unbelievable ride.
First of all, growing up a Knicks fan is nothing like that Laker resume you just reeled off of all the winning and celebrating and joy. And no, my life is shame and self-loathing. You, however, are part of Laker Nation. So I ask you, because this Lakers season is unlike any of those 15 that you just mentioned. From the start of the season, kicking off in China with the tweets from Daryl Morey and the conversations around the NBA's presence in that part of the world, to the tragic passing of Kobe Bryant and so many others that day in Calabasas, to the world facing a global pandemic. It's just been incredible what we're all dealing with. But when you're talking about the Lakers, what do you take from those 15 seasons, if anything, that you can apply to this unusual season if you're the Lakers as you try and move forward and figure out a playoff run?
I don't know if you can go off past experiences like we've always been able to do in all parts of our lives, and what I think athletes, you know, bank on. Hey, being there before, how to handle media, how to handle crowds, what's my routine on the road, how do I take care of my business, how do I dial in for 2 months? I mean, as athletes growing up, you learn that, and then you get to the professional level and you take steps to get there, and then once you've been there, you bank on that. This is unlike anything they've ever been a part of. And you just hit it on the head with all that stuff, just the way the year started for them And then January 26th, I mean, you know, in this business too, and whether you're an athlete or broadcast or whatever, you can't practice for days like that or for times like that and going on the air and talking about those things or going into those arenas and playing under those circumstances. And then, you know, I remember finding out on air that Gobert, you know, it tested positive and that the season was being suspended. Trudell and I were on air together. And I'm like, wait, do I have a job still? I mean, just those thoughts going through your head. So that's the beauty of the bubble. I don't think we know. Honestly, Ben, I've thought a lot about this the last couple weeks. I think I underrated it also in terms of like the number one seed and how much you count on that. I would be so confident opening at Staples every series, you know, but now that's not the case. I mean, you've been in LA long enough to know what it's like when the Lakers are on a run. It's pretty magical around here. And to not have that is going to be strange. I don't know what these guys can draw from. You have to come together like never before. You have to rely on how you are as a team, chemistry, all that stuff. But it's hard, Ben, because no one's ever been through anything like this.
Chris McGee joining the show. Know him, of course, covering the Lakers on Spectrum Sportsnet. And like you said, Chris, there's that sort of energy in the city when the Lakers go on a run. Traditionally, it's April to June. Now it's going to be middle of August, deep into October. I still think we'll feel it around the city. I don't think it'll be, you know, impacting the play on the court like a Sunday at Staples in the springtime. But you're going to see the flags around town. You're going to see people hyped up. People are going to be rocking purple and gold. There's going to be a collective feeling that hangs over the LA for the next few weeks that I think will be a positive force on the city for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you for sure. It's funny, Ben, I was talking to Big Shot Rob Ori the other day on set. And I'm like, Big Shot, game four. 2002, that's maybe the loudest I've ever heard Staples. That and when Kobe threw the lob to Shaq in 2000, game seven, loudest I've ever heard. And what if you hit that shot in the bubble? And he's like, I don't think they'd be calling me Big Shot because no one would be cheering. Yeah, you imagine him in that shot.
Right.
In the Kings and there's really no one around.
But is that what you're like on set? You have to turn to your left and say, hey, Big Shot. And you turn to your right and you say, hey, Big Game.
Yeah.
Do they always get the nickname moniker introduction every time you're watching games?
No, it depends. Like, we just always call James Big Game, so it kind of just comes out naturally. So sometimes
you don't want Robert Ori to feel left out. I mean, you got to call him Big Shot if you're calling him Big Game. I mean, so come on, funny, he's not Chot Liver like over that. Here.
Yeah, if I go Big Game, don't you have to go Big Shot? You know, but I'll usually call him Rob. But on the intro, sometimes I'll be like, seven titles, you know, or seven rings, Big Shot Rob, you know, Big Shot Bob, whatever, you know, but he's
you know, that's the joy, Chris, for guys like you and I who are lucky enough to somehow stumble into this, is that when you get to sit and watch a game, an important game, a playoff game or a big game with one of these kind of guys, they're able to see stuff and point stuff out that no matter how much basketball we all study, because we didn't live it at that level, we'll never truly understand. So let's talk with James Worthy, about James Worthy in particular. You work so closely with him. The Worthy claps become a thing for Laker Nation. What does he point out? What is his demeanor like during the actual games that you guys are watching and analyzing?
You know what's so great about him is he's just fun and he treats everyone so well. And when he walks into the studio or to the newsroom, I don't know, he just, you know, you always hear it might sound cliche, but lights up a room. He just has that ability. So when we're watching games with him, like, what's really funny, Ben, is how he's a fan too. You know, a lot of guys that play in the NBA aren't, right? They're watching the games. They're just doing their job. But James wants to win. So, like, him getting mad or him cheering is always, I think it just always fires us up too. You know what I mean? He's still got, I'll say this, I think what he points out the most, I still think he has that old school mentality where he doesn't like the quick shot from 35 that we all love, right? Like, he's so about that movement of the ball and like, AD, get to your spot. And he wants him to go down low more. He points those kind of things out so much more, I think, than I do. You know, like, wait, how many times has AD got to the free throw line? Only twice? Well, that tells James that AD is just cruising in this one, right? He's hanging out by that 3-point line. So I think he sees the game a little bit different. Like Fish, you know, when we have Fish in there, he's such a coach and such a student of the game that Fish is seeing things a little bit differently. Big Game brings a little more of that old school approach. And I know you know Karan, tough juice. Isn't he one of the greatest guys ever?
I mean, his life story, my goodness, I mean, talk about inspiration. But yeah, just to be around him, again, light up a room, presence is a present, all of that stuff.
Yeah, that's an inspirational man. And they all bring something different to the table. I love Karam's still so in touch with the guys that play today. So he always has that inside kind of, he talks to them. So I always appreciate that side of it. So you almost get that coach side with Fish, right? That old school player from Rob and James. And then there's Rob, who's played with Hakeem and Drexler, Shaq and Kobe, Ginobili and Duncan Parker, and played for Pop, Rudy T, and Phil. I don't know. There's just like, I love asking those guys about that stuff. Dean Smith, Pat Riley, those kind of things. I love that. Like, James will tell you about Kareem. Like, I feel like Kareem comes up 5 times a week in when we're watching games. Isn't that crazy?
It's so true. Anybody who was part of that Showtime era will forever refer to Kareem and almost in this like oracle way. Yeah. If you hear Michael Thompson or Worthy just share their life wisdoms that they've accumulated over the years from being in his presence. Chris McGee joining the show. You can find him, of course, on Spectrum Sportsnet covering the Lakers. And I started our show today, Chris, talking about the idea that the Lakers in some ways are the best yard sale team ever constructed. It's as if Rob Pelinka went to the yard sale with $20 and he came back with an entire wardrobe for the whole family. Like, it's just remarkable, down from Dion Waiters and J.R. White and JaVale and these cast-offs, these guys who were discarded and out of the league. Yeah, sure, I'll take them for a dollar. And next thing you know, that's the new fashion trend, even if you got it for a dollar, right? They're the greatest yard sale team. Which of the items, besides the big ticket ones, the centerpieces, if you will, besides LeBron and AD, which ones of the others you think are the most paramount for the Lakers to have success and finish this thing out?
First of all, this is why you're legend. I want to steal that. That is so good. I am dying laughing. I'm thinking of Dwight Howard as that random shirt in the pile that is just legendary, like the Nirvana t-shirt that's in perfect condition or something.
And the person selling it has no idea how much it should cost. And you're like, $12? Really? Yeah. How about I give you 14? Sure. Why not?
Oh my God. That is so good. Like, it's funny. You were saying that analogy and I was thinking of guys like, oh, picking, you know, oh, there's Avery Bradley. Everyone's forgotten about him. I'll pay $3 for him.
I totally think they're the Rose Bowl flea market of the NBA, Chris.
I mean, it's crazy, man. I think I could just take that question so many ways, and I know we have limited time. I feel like there's so many key pieces. I do think Dwight and that bench have to be good. I feel like when the Lakers were at that best, it's because they always had a Dwight, JaVale, AD. Like, you always had length, you always had the vertical game, you always had rebounding, you always had block shots. So I always want to add him in there. But if like I go, I always feel like when no AB now, like KCP becomes big, Dion Waiters becomes big, Caruso, those kind of guys that, like, I don't know, think back to like all the finals, right? You can always find those guys that make winning plays that aren't your stars. You're going to need those guys. You're going to need Danny Green to have one game where he hits 6 threes, right? KCP has to perform. This is now his time. Like, you've got to do it on the big stage. Kuz, you know, Bron saying Kuz has to be our third best player. I mean, for me, I've said it all year. I've gone away from that narrative. I've said, listen, that third player rotates. It's way too much to put on Kuz. He doesn't need to be that guy. But I feel watching these last 8 games, Kuz does need to be that guy. Kuz has to score 14, 15, 16 a game. Has to.
Yeah, Kuz at a thrift shop could get a little expensive. You start shopping for whole, you know, Gucci shirts with no holes in them. You know, it's expensive, Geeta.
Can you get KCP cheap?
I didn't even get KCP for, a handful of presidential buttons from, you know, the 80s for a couple of peanuts there.
He's got to be good then, right? Like, you got to see the diamond in the rough. You got to be looking at a pile, and all of a sudden Alex Cruz was at the bottom of the pile. That guy has no idea because he doesn't look pretty. And you're like, hey, I'm going to give you a dollar for this. And then AC becomes that guy that gets a steal at the end of the game or doubles and creates a turnover on Lillard. You know what I mean? Like, that's the guy you need.
Yeah, don't sleep on the others for this Lakers team, as much as the attention, of course, will be on AD and LeBron. You're right. It's going to be some of those others in the yard sale who round out the wardrobe. Appreciate you taking some time, my man. It's all yours. It's all yours. Just don't share it with John Ireland. You take care, all right? Appreciate you, Chris.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. Loved having you on this week. So much fun, brother.
Thanks, man. Thanks for listening. Chris McGee joining us from Spectrum Sports Net does a great job covering the Lakers in studio. And what a thrill to be able to sit there as a kid from Southern California who grew up loving the Lakers, to sit and watch Lakers basketball next to James Worthy, Robert Horry, Derek Fisher. The list goes on. And anybody living their dream, you get a thumbs up from me. They're doing something right. All right, coming up next, we are going to get back into the Dodgers. Mookie Betts doing something right, going yard three times yesterday. We'll get into that. Plus, my favorite film critic joins the show to close out a fun week here on 710 ESPN.
710 ESPN.
This is the Sedano Show.
Oh, Ben Lyons, 710 ESPN, filling in for George here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. My mom came to see me DJ once. I used to DJ at the Dime on Fairfax, and she came to see me DJ once. And for some reason, I played this record, which was probably a bad choice with my mom in the bar that night.
What was it? What was your DJ name? You had to have something. Just Jeez. Ben Lyons.
DJ Benjamin. It's all about Benjamin, baby. Come on.
That's all it was? It was just DJ Benjamin. Oh, come on. You could have gotten a little more clever than that. Hey, I'm going to use my first name.
Guests appear on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. Tune in for an AL East rivalry this Sunday night. The New York Yankees taking on the Boston Red Sox, the Old Town team, presented by Geico. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 3 p.m. Pacific on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app at 4 p.m. on ESPN. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano. Super producer Greg is here. Got my favorite film critic calling in next with, I think, his favorite films of all time. I asked him for five. Something tells me he's going to hit us with a few more than that. But I want to get over to the Dodgers because Mookie Betts had two home runs last night when Greg was texting me. And he went on to hit a few more than that. I mean, this guy was, what, three home run game, which is the most in the history of the sport. He's doing it in a pair of Air Jordans, stunting all over the Padres. Who are so fake, by the way. Like, can we talk for a second, Greg, about the fake Padres? I know they're 11-9. And they're just, honestly, they're the Houston Rockets of Major League Baseball. They just go out there and try to get the biggest name they can, and they scare you when they sign Matt Kemp or Machado, and now they got Tatis Jr., and then Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, Harden, Dwight Howard. It doesn't matter. They're not winning anything. They're just fake contenders.
Yeah, I mean, you're using the Rockets. I'm using a team like the Clippers. It's a team that they talk a lot and have never won anything. Like in San Diego, they're saying like, oh, they were coming for Los Angeles this year, and we're going to be better than them. Look, we got Fernando Tatis. We took Machado from you. We gave you Machado. You can have him. And so it's fake. Like nothing. They're showing what they are at 11-9. They're just about where they're supposed to be. Barely over 500.
Absolutely. Well said. I feel like every spring it turns into this thing like, this is the year the Padres are back and make some noise, but not really. And we're going to do this again next year. Like, it just hasn't worked out. And I was very happy to see Mookie Betts go yard, not once, not twice, but three times last night. Mike Trout's putting up Superman numbers as always because he's Mike Trout. And as always, nobody cares. This man could literally walk through LA Live pre-COVID and I don't think one person would stop him. When you look at Mookie Betts and Mike Trout, arguably two of the top four players in the game, two of the top three players in the game. You know, I'm happy with the fact that the Dodgers have Mookie because it feels like maybe he's not as good a player, but it feels like for whatever reason, he comes with some winning, which Trout can't seem to bring along for the ride.
Yeah, the amount of times that Mookie Betts has been in the playoffs and has won a World Series is way more than the three times or the three games that Mike Trout has been.
Right, he's played three games and been swept. He has one hit in the postseason. I know baseball doesn't, you know, equate the same way that basketball does, where one great player can lead you to the promised land or overcome a lot of inconsistencies throughout the rest of the team. But if Trout just keeps putting up these numbers in a vacuum down in Anaheim, it's going to be one of the more disappointing careers of all time, if at the same time, it's also one of the most impressive. That sounds like a very Kenny Smith phrase of when you play small, you have to play big. How can you have the most disappointing and impressive? That's kind of odd, but I think it does make sense.
Well, look what they got over there, too, and they're still not good. Every year they add more offense, and it's the pitching that's the problem. They have Anthony Rendon, who's hitting the ball out of the yard. They have Shohei Ohtani, who's, again, hitting the ball out of the yard. Mike Trout, one of the greatest players possibly of all time. And you have, like, other guys that are all around him, like Andrelton Simmons. That's a good defensive and offensive player. And they can't win games because their pitching staff is so bad. And at some point, they're going to have to put something into their pitching staff. And I get that they wanted to use Ohtani as a two-way player. That obviously, that is done. That experiment is never going to pan out. So go out at the trade deadline, grab something, do something to get that pitching staff better.
Trout, I know he signed a big deal and he got paid, and it's not really in the culture of the sport, but how is this guy just keeping his mouth shut and not attacking this organization? And the NBA, when Charles Barkley was hitting heads with the owners of the Philadelphia 76ers, he got shipped to Phoenix and won the MVP, got out of there. Anthony Davis didn't like being in New Orleans, wanted to go to L.A., got out of there. Why can't Trout just get out of there? Why does he still want to be there? Does he just because he's getting paid and he's hitting and he doesn't care?
You know, it's the same thing like with Damian Lillard. When Damian Lillard has year in and year out, can't make it all the way to the finals, is getting knocked out early, whatever it happens to be. Why is he still in Portland? Why didn't he get out of Portland?
No, but I think if anything, he's knocking at the door. He's putting in the work. He's at least getting there. Trout's got one hit in his postseason career, and he's the greatest player since Mickey Mantle. And it's been 9 years of hitting in obscurity. Mookie Betts comes to town, 3 home runs. Dodgers are rolling. Like, you have to be able to uplift others by your presence. And Trout can ball out all he wants, but if it doesn't inspire the rest of the team, the rest of the organization to step up, that's what happens with greatness, Greg. I've been very lucky throughout my career. I've had the opportunity to work with some of the true icons in television. I got to work with Robin Roberts. I got to work with Diane Sawyer. And you get to see how they're able to get everybody on set. The cameraman, the makeup person, the security guy, the writer, everyone's doing the best version of their job just because they're around Robin Roberts. She's not screaming and yelling and doing anything like that. She's just existing. Trout's existing right now, but it's not inspiring others. The Angels are just an afterthought in our marketplace in Los Angeles. I know people are listening down in Southern California. I know people are listening in Orange County. But guess what? You don't care about the Angels. Be honest with yourself. Nobody does. And the fact that Mike Trout is still there, I think it is honestly a reason why the sport is not as popular as it once was, because the greatest player of a generation is wasting away down on the 405 somewhere. So you have to have your marquee players doing big things, and not just in big markets. Anaheim, technically, in the vicinity of Los Angeles, still a big market. You have to actually be impacting the culture of your sport, have people talking about whether it's your big home run or your back and forth with a particular player or your whatever cleats you wear. This dude's doing nothing to grab a hold of the zeitgeist. ESPN can every couple of months do some type of big interview to trot him out there and roll him out there and make him a star. I'm sorry. I'm calling him out for being boring. Be interesting in 2020. Coming up next, the most interesting man in the world. This is Ben Lyon filling in for Sedano, 710 ESPN.
Live and local on 710.
From 10 a.m. to noon.
From 10 a.m. to noon.
You're listening to The Sedano Show on 710 ESPN.
Now back to Sedano.
Ben Lyon filling in for Sedano. Don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at Home on your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at Home brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. Ben Lyon's filling in for Sedano. ESPN LA. On Fridays, George always loves to talk movies with me. He's kind enough to call me up, usually has a list or a game we like to play, tying into the zeitgeist and the culture. I like to think I'm George Sedano's favorite film critic. So I thought this week I would welcome onto the show, because Sedano's out. He'll be back next week with LZ when they kick off their afternoon show at 4 o'clock every day on 710 ESPN. I thought I'd bring in my favorite film critic this week to give us his list of favorite films of all time. No gimmicks, no little kitschy hooks or anything. Let's just go with the heavy hitters, the greatest movies of all time. We'll get to that in a moment, but I want to remind you that keeping your vehicle well-maintained is essential to the safety of you and your family. Pull into your neighborhood Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home with a 15-minute drive-through oil change, and get the peace of mind that my ride is in peak performance this summer. For over 30 years, our friends at Valvoline have provided quick, convenient maintenance services for busy people like yourself. Oil changes, tire rotation, transmission care, and more. Valvoline is committed to protecting its customers and technicians with their famously safe Stay In Your Car oil change. No dragging the kids out, no getting out of your car. At Valvoline, you can relax in your vehicle while the expert technicians take care of your maintenance needs. Enjoy Apple or Google Pay for touchless payment and get your receipt by email. Just pull up, drive in, and drive out. In less than 15 minutes, over 80 service centers in Southern California are here to service you. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and download a coupon to save on your next oil change. Ben Lyons filling in for George Sedano. When I was growing up in New York City, there was a basketball scout named Tom Konchowski, recently retired, legendary basketball scout in New York City. Tom Konchowski. Everyone knows Mr. Konchowski. When he came to my gym junior year to scout our team, for some reason on that game, on that day, I decided to go full Giannis and got into it with Ariel Schulman from the Fieldston Eagles. I got a technical. I was so embarrassed in front of Mr. Konchowski. I had to go to him after the games. But Ariel Schulman and I got into it. I got a technical foul. Today, Ariel's new movie, Project Power, on Netflix with Jamie Foxx comes out with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Ariel, great filmmaker now. But joining the show right now, Jeffrey Lyons, my favorite film critic. Do you remember when I got a technical for getting into it with Ariel Schulman against the Fieldston Eagles?
You didn't. You're lucky you didn't get more technicals, Ben. Listen, Greg was talking about the greatest Dodger team he'd ever seen. Well, the greatest Dodger team I ever saw was when I was a child. I watched the '55 Dodgers, and then I went to the World Series in '57 and saw six future Hall of Famers with Roy Campanella and Gil Hodges and Jackie Robinson and Pee Wee Reese, Billy Cox, not in all.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I'm sorry, Dad. I hate to cut you off. Mookie Betts just hit another home run. Sorry about that.
I know. I'm sure he did. You know I'm a Red Sox fan. I'm writing a book called The All-Time Red Sox at each position. When it comes to Mookie Betts, I'm going to say we hardly knew you. You know, I wish him all the best. We have to move on. And Greg, I promised Greg when I emailed him that I'd sing him a song since I'm a New Yorker. I'm not a Brooklyn Dodger fan, but it goes quickly like this, Ben. Did you happen to hear the news about what's happening in Brooklyn? We really got the blues. What's happening in Brooklyn? It ain't official yet. Official, we hope it don't get. But my friends, beware and let me warn you. Looks like they're moving the bumps to California. Let's keep the Dodgers in Brooklyn. A house is not a home without some love. Let's keep them on the premises. L.A. will be our nemesis because Brooklyn fits the Dodgers like a glove. And you know, Ben, Pete Hamill, the great New York writer who died, the day the Dodgers moved to L.A., he wrote a column about the three worst people in world history, Hitler, Mussolini, and Walter O'Malley.
The world's most interesting man, my father, Jeffrey Lyons, my favorite film critic, joining the show. Appreciate you taking the time. Ben Lyons filling in on the Sedano Show, singing us old Brooklyn Dodgers songs. But the Dodgers left Brooklyn in the rearview mirror and have set up shop in Los Angeles. Right. And, Dad, I know your Red Sox are long out of it. Do you think this could finally be the year the Dodgers are able to get a World Series?
What amazes me is that they're doing it without our friend Rich Hill. There's no weakness on the team. They take pitches. They make intelligent choices. The pitchers get a lot of ground ball outs. There are a lot of good two-strike hitters. You know, I don't stay up late to watch the games when Rich Hill isn't pitching anymore for the Dodgers, but I follow them, and I'm very happy for everybody. And I'm very happy for Mookie. Everybody who's ever played with Mookie Betts says he always plays with a smile on his face. And I wish him well. The Red Sox have to move on. They should have kept him. But, you know, life goes on. They won World Series after Babe Ruth left. They'll win some World Series now, too, I hope.
Oh, Mookie Betts just hit another home run. Sorry to cut you off. I keep hating
Listen,
to do that, Dad.
I think Johnny Mize had a lot of three home run hitters.
Home run games, too.
Check that.
Greg, he doesn't sound like he's really convinced himself that he's over it yet. I can hear it in his voice that he's trying really hard. But I don't know if he's fully over Mookie Betts leaving Boston just yet. What do you think?
Verdugo hit two homers in a game.
See,
yeah,
there
that
you go.
275 gets you on the subway in New York, Dad. Continue.
Yeah, look, Jeffrey, you at least just save some cap space. That's the important thing.
Right. We just have to move on. And I can't wait for this season to be over. 60 games is ridiculous. You're going to pick a most valuable player after 60 games? They're doing the best they can, but I just can't wait. I'm thinking towards next year. I really am.
It's such a different mentality with looking at this bubble season for a Red Sox fan this year than a Dodger fan, isn't it, Greg? He wants the season to be over.
Ben, I wanted to keep going.
A pitcher on the mound with a number lower than 90, it seems.
Yeah, that was a tough one yesterday out of Fenway. All right, every week on the show, George will give me some new movie assignment, top five favorite summer sleepaway camp movies or top five basketball films. Well, you're my favorite film critic, Dad, so we thought we'd have you on the show to close things out with our movie segment this week. Your favorite films of all time. I would give you a number, but something tells me you wouldn't stick to it. So knowing that this is the end of the show and people have to go about their day, let's start things off. What's your favorite film of all time?
Favorite film of all time is The Graduate, set in Los Angeles. It was life-changing for me. And Dustin Hoffman knows that. He joked with me once that I haven't been kind to him since, but it's my favorite film. I don't want to see it often enough because it would lose its effect. And the producer, Joseph E. Levine, was a friend of ours. And the director, Mike Nichols, lived upstairs from us. And Joe Levine gave me a 35-millimeter print of the movie, even though I don't have a 35-millimeter projector. It's my favorite all-time film.
Okay, so The Graduate's number one. Anybody hasn't seen it, of course, Dustin Hoffman, one of the all-time great performances, pop culture moments as well, really grabs a hold of American zeitgeist when the film was released. Right. What else makes your list of favorite films, and how many are you sharing with Los Angeles?
Okay, when I tell you I've got 16 more, I'll do it quickly.
16 more movies? Dad, we've got another reviewing movie show.
I've been reviewing movies professionally for almost 50 years. I've seen over 30,000 films, give or take, and all. And I'm entitled to have a few more than just 10. I love them all the same, like my children, my two children. I love them the same. 7 Days in May, Kirk Douglas and Burt Lancaster. Anytime they teamed, I was there. Great political movie. They worked together in Gunfight at the OK Corral. I can see it 100 times. The Manchurian Candidate, one of the best Cold War political thrillers of all time with Frank Sinatra and Frederick March. The Big Country with Gregory Peck, co-producing with the director William Wyler, and former Brooklyn Dodger hopeful and Chicago Cub first baseman Chuck Connors, and Burl Ives won the Oscar for supporting actor. Shane with Alan Ladd, one of the most beautiful westerns ever made. The Man Who Never Was, a true story about a diabolical plot against the Germans to deceive them about the invasion of Sicily. Bridge on the River Kwai, of course, set in what was then Ceylon, and Your Grandfather Pushed the Plunger that Blew Up the Bridge. He was on the set. Annie Hall, I think Woody Allen's finest films. Field of Dreams, for me, my money, the best film of the 1980s, even though James Earl Jones once told me he's never been to a baseball game. The French Connection, your father had a bit role in the movie. It's with my favorite actor, Gene Hackman. I was unconvincing playing myself. The Counterfeit Trader, another true story with William Holden about World War II, a double agent. Bad Day at BlackRock, recently on Turner, a classics with Spencer Tracy and Ernest Borgnine and Lee Marvin and Robert Ryan, a terrific little 89-minute thriller. The Searchers with John Wayne and Jeffrey Hunter, a gorgeous John Ford Western. Jaws, one of my favorite. I haven't been in the ocean since Jaws. Dr. No, my favorite James Bond movie, and Missing with Jack Lemmon. So that didn't take that long. None of them are recent. You're right about that. But I still love all those films. And there are many, many, many others, but we don't have enough time for those.
Jeffrey Lyons joining the show, my favorite film critic. Ben Lyons here filling in for Sedano. Number 18 on that list, Juana Man. Film, I know that holds a very special place in your heart.
That, it certainly does. I'm on the box for that, so see it and enjoy it. We all have our secret vices. I also like Vera Cruz, a hokey Western with Burt Lancaster and Gary Cooper. Actors sometimes do that for the money. I like that film, too.
Also, see, I saw recently that you were on the box for Cocktail, saying it was totally entertaining. What did you love about TC making drinks and Cocktail?
Oh, I liked it a lot. It's my favorite Tom Cruise movie. By the way, I mentioned Jaws. I once asked Robert Shaw, who played Quint, the fisherman, based on a real-life character, Frank Mundus, when you're going down the side of the ship and you know it's only a mechanical shark about to eat you, were you scared? He said, yes, I wasn't scared of the shark. I was scared that a rusty nail on the side of the slippery side of the deck was going to rip my back open. So that was I told Steven Spielberg I have never been in the ocean since Jaws. And look, all across New England this summer, there have been shark sightings. A poor woman was killed by a great white, and there are 12 shark sightings out here on Long Island all summer long. You're getting me out of the ocean into the pool. Fish go where they go. I go where I go.
I know, but you're a big fan of seeing Shaq during Shark Week, so that's as close
great.
As you get to
he
the
was
Sharks.
He was great in it. I mean, at first he didn't want to get in. He's almost as big as the whale shark, and he wouldn't go in at first. It was like in a pool, but a whale shark is a harmless shark. And he went in. He has great empathy. He's a natural on TV. Everywhere you. It's a shame he doesn't do commercials. He ought to do some commercials. Make some extra.
Yeah, yeah. Shaq should get some more work. I hope that happens for him soon. Hey, you know, I love Dad. When I get to watch basketball with you, and we talk about players from my generation, your generation. When you finally realize that a guy from today has earned your respect, or as someone who can be mentioned alongside the all-time greats. Damian Lillard right now putting up his third 60-point game of the season, the most time, you know, alongside Wilt Chamberlain for the most in a season. I mean, he's in some illustrious company. When you see Damian Lillard, does he finally get a seat at your table of respect?
Oh, absolutely. I'll give him a few more seasons, too. I once did a one-hour interview with Oscar Robertson, and that was thrilling to me. And you know who my favorite player of all time is, a former L.A. Laker out of University of Seattle in your program, Elgin Baylor.
So you see Damian Lillard sitting alongside Elgin Baylor, Wilt Chamberlain.
Too soon, but I think if anybody's going to sit at that table, it's going to be Damian Lillard. Absolutely.
You think the Lakers are going to do it this year? You think we're going to have a parade down Figueroa in October?
I think they're going to do it. I doubt there's going to be a parade. Put it that way.
Yes, thank you for being sensible, my father. You're right. There's not going to be a parade because of COVID. You're absolutely right. But the idea, meaning
in New York,
that the Lakers are going to win a title. You think this is the year for LeBron?
It is. I just wish it weren't such, you know, this crazy. At least the NBA can play a full season, right? In baseball, I like to watch it. Tonight it's Red Sox, Yankees, and all that. And the Red Sox are in last place with really lousy pitchers. Their two best pitchers are on the disabled list. I know I'm going to watch, but it's just not the same. So
this is how much of a Red Sox fan you are. I asked you if you think this is the year for LeBron, and you answer by going off on the Red Sox pitching staff. That lets me know you're a real fan.
Yeah,
don't forget to listen to. Don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at Home on your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at Home brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano. Jeffrey Lyons, my favorite film critic, is joining the show. Dad, we talk a lot on the show about Christopher Nolan's upcoming film Tenet and how he is insistent on putting it in theaters. Do you think we'll see Tenet on the big screen? And do you think you have to in order to really appreciate and understand a great film?
Well, the announcement came yesterday from AMC Theaters that August 24th, they're going to open a lot of movie theaters. But it won't matter if nobody wants to come. I don't know how it's going to work out. There's been a time when I didn't think that they'd ever open movie theaters again. If people have to come, you're going to let 25% of the people in rather than put it on Netflix or pay-per-view. I think it's going to depend on a lot of things. Once we get the vaccine, that'll be all different. But I'd be surprised if I see many major films playing in the coming weeks in theaters. And if they want to open them next week, more power to them. I just don't want to go to a theater yet. It's too soon.
Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Ben Lyons here filling in for Sedano. Dad, Mookie Betts hits another home run, I think, on this call. I think that's 17 in the last 24 hours from Mookie.
Could it be
just amazing?
Could it be the National League pitching is inferior? Could it be? I don't know.
No. Challenge flag on the field there. It's got nothing to do with the see ball, hit ball, a wise man once told me.
No, it's not. No, it's not always that. This year, maybe, because both leagues have the designated hitter. But, you know, when David Cone pitched a perfect game, I kid him about it. I said, it was September. It was call-ups from Montreal, I think. It was September call-ups. And whenever I see John Smoltz in the broadcast booth, I say, how could you go into the Hall of Fame as an Atlanta Brave when you play for the Red Sox for a week when you were done? You could have gone in with a Red Sox hat on. He loves it.
Hey, Dad, because we're coming up against it, do you think the Red Sox stole their World Series by cheating the Dodgers?
They didn't cheat the Dodgers. There's no proof of that. They were found innocent. I think Alex Cora was involved in Houston. And we're not talking about the Apple Watch either. I think they were found not guilty. And if they were guilty, they should have paid the penalty. But they were found not guilty.
I just like messing with you. I love just hearing you on your heels. You're like, oh, you're scrambling. No, what are you talking about? It makes me laugh. Appreciate you sharing your list with us. And I encourage everyone to go see Juana Man, one of my dad's favorites. Thanks for calling, big guy. Love you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Greg.
All right, there he is, Jeffrey Lyons, world's most interesting man. Greg, it's been a great week. Thanks so much for having me on, man. What do you got planned this weekend?
Just going to be with the family and kids. That's it.
Laying low, staying safe, watching this playing game, Grizzlies, Blazers tomorrow night. Carmelo's chance for a title is still alive. Enjoy the NBA next week, everyone. Stay safe. Thanks so much for rocking out. Big week on the station next week. Make sure you tune in. This is Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano on 710 ESPN.